Wednesday, June 5th, 2019. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another day of talking sports with a dose of common sense, which is just what we do here at the Dose. Hey, happy Wednesday to you, and I've got something else for you today. Happy National Moonshine Day. Yes, does it get any better than that? Now, moonshine is traditionally considered to be an illegally distilled spirit, at least here in the good old USA. Mostly made from a corn mash, moonshine is a distilled whiskey that is typically produced by an individual illegally without a permit. It's also known as White Lightning. Some people call it Mountain Dew. Some people call it homebrew, maybe hillbilly pop, a number of things that people call moonshine here in the United States. Now, if you ever see those moonshine jugs and you see the X's on them, that represents the number of times that a batch was run through the still. So if a jug is marked triple X, yeah, that moonshine is pure alcohol. Woo-hoo! Now, during Prohibition, moonshine runners were actually driving their product all over the country and having to outrun the police on these crazy drives to distribute their product. In 1947, Big Bill France organized some of these crazy but highly talented drivers and car owners and mechanics, and he put them in a place with some standardized rules for auto races. And because of moonshine, NASCAR, the National Association of Stock Car Auto Racing, was born. The first official race was held just 2 months later. So today, on June 5th, as we celebrate National Moonshine Day, go ahead and feel free to tip back, I don't know, a mason jar of moonshine if you'd like to. But also, remember, this is where the sport of NASCAR did get its start. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us how you think NASCAR now tries to make drivers crash more than they did when they were actually running moonshine on dirt mountain roads. We would, well, first off, tend to agree with you, but we would also love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. If you've got just a quick comment or question, Facebook or Twitter is a quick way to get a hold of us. Both of those handles are at dailydosports. But maybe you've got some feedback for the show. Maybe you have a question for us. Maybe you are in need of a little advice. Hey, wedding season is coming up, kind of into that season right now. In fact, I've got a wedding here in a few weeks I'm going to have to go to. And it just seems like when you get around those kind of events, people always need advice. They always have some kind of question they want to ask about. Should I do this? Should I ask this? Should I say this? Just kind of keep us in the back of your mind. We are great at handing out some advice here on the Dose. Feel free to reach out. We would love to hear what you have to say. Also, you should stop by tpublic.com and pick up some Daily Dose gear, which, I mean, if it's a formal kind of wedding that maybe you have to go to later this year, or if you want to drink your moonshine and look a little bit classier than the guy next to you, you probably need to go by tpublic.com and pick up some Daily Dose gear. We've got Daily Dose t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, coffee mugs that you could sip moonshine out of. A number of Daily Dose items are available for you. Just stop by tpublic.com, search Daily Dose, scroll down until you see our logo, and there you can pick up a few things to make your world a better place. Hey, today on the show, we do have a few news stories coming out that we need to make sure we cover, but then we are going to have our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings.
Hump Day!
You never know what we might be ranking each week, but trust me on this, when we started going over this Hump Day Power Rankings, it was something pretty interesting. I think you will enjoy it. We'll get to that here in just a few minutes. Just a few things coming out in the world of breaking news, though, that we should touch on. The University of North Carolina says head football coach Mack Brown has had his right knee replaced, get this, by a surgeon who once was a player for Mack Brown. Team spokesman Jeremy Sharp said on Tuesday that the 67-year-old head coach underwent the procedure on Monday that was performed by one of his former players, Dr. Michael Bolognesi, who played defensive back for Brown from 1989 until 1993, and they say the surgery won't affect the coach's summer schedule at all. He was discharged later on Monday afternoon. Brown, in fact, made a statement after the surgery. Here's what he had to say. First off, how cool is it that one of our former players replaced my knee yesterday? We talk about building young men so that they can become productive husbands, fathers, and citizens. Carolina produces a lot of special people, and I'm happy we were able to play a small part in Mike's development because we counted on him. And he, along with the rest of the surgical team, did a tremendous job. Hey, you can say all these things, and you can talk about how amazing it is that a former player actually got to be the one performing the surgery on you. But, you know, I coached for a long time. I don't know if I want a former player operating on me. I have had players that I have had great relationships with, people that I still maintain contact with as adults. I know their kids. I know their spouses. We have a relationship since back when I coached them when they were just kids. And I still don't know if I would feel that comfortable about them operating on me as my surgeon. I mean, one night you might be sitting there talking to them and everything's good and everything's fine. And you're discussing, remember the big game? Remember the big shot you hit? Remember we changed this, we did this, and you have this great relationship. And then all of a sudden, maybe you're having some drinks one night and they'll say, hey coach, remember that one time I was kind of goofing off in practice and you made me run like 50 sprints afterward? Yeah. See, those little nuggets, those little items, that's how you end up getting like a Lego sewn into your knee. I hope that this surgery went as well for Mac Brown as they say it did. But I just know what former players sometimes remember, that's not always what we remember as coaches. Good luck to Mac Brown. Hope that he heals up a little bit. You know, we've got the big game in the NBA Finals tonight. Should be very interesting as the Toronto Raptors will now go to Golden State to face the Warriors. And the Warriors are going to be very shorthanded. It looks like forward Kevon Looney is likely to be out the rest of this series. They say he has a fracture of some cartilage on the right side of his rib cage and that he is now out indefinitely. Looney actually had an MRI on Monday in the Bay Area after he missed the second half of Sunday's 109-104 Game 2 victory over Toronto. And they say that this fractured cartilage connects the sternum to the ribs, so it's an extremely painful injury. They're already saying that Looney is going to be out. And you know, without Looney, the Warriors are going to have to depend even more on a guy who's not in that great a shape because they're going to have to give some more minutes to big man DeMarcus Cousins. Now, he looked good in Game 2. Remember, he is coming back from a pretty serious injury himself, that partially torn quad that he suffered earlier, so I don't know how good DeMarcus Cousins is going to be. Meanwhile, they are saying they think that swingman Klay Thompson will be playing despite the fact that he has a mild hamstring sprain, so he's not going to be 100%. And you know, looking at Klay's game, that hamstring could be a problem. I don't know that it's going to bother his shooting that much because he is a jump shooter, but that is going to come from a lot of the lower part of the leg. He can get his shot off. I don't think that'll be a problem. The problem for Klay will be one, getting open. He does a lot of getting open coming off of screens. He doesn't do a lot of ball handling. He gets himself open prior to getting the ball, catches and shoots. Getting himself open is going to be a problem. Here is where you're going to see that hamstring injury on Klay as well. Playing defense. And we know that Klay Thompson is the best two-way player that the Golden State Warriors have. And we know he is one of the top defensive players in the league. When you can't get down in a defensive stance because that hamstring is sore, and I fully expect them to Novocaine that thing up so it might not hurt as much, but he also might not have the reactivity that he normally would. He may not have the explosion that he normally would. So the Warriors have a few injuries tonight. Oh, and by the way, they're also saying that Kevin Durant has also been officially ruled out of Game 3 tonight as well. Hey, Golden State is really, really banged up right now. Tonight, honestly, looking at that game, this should be a Toronto win. Even though it's in Oakland, and I know how crazy that place is, Toronto should win this game with as banged up as Golden State is. Hey, if they can't get this one, which one can you get? I really think Toronto is going to look back at that loss in Game 2 and say, wow, we could have completely changed this series if we just could have found a way to get a win on that night. Because if you drop this one tonight, and you're basically playing for your lives just to get this one, and then we don't know when are the Golden State players going to start coming back, the series could change drastically. I hate to say must win, because it's not a must win. It's not a Game 7. But tonight for Toronto? Yeah, it might be getting about as close to must win as you can get. Hey, speaking of those Raptors, former Raptor DeMar DeRozan is rooting for his best friend Kyle Lowry, and he says he is cheering for his former teammates to win the NBA Finals, but he's still a little bit bitter about how everything went and how he got shipped off to San Antonio. Here's what DeMar DeRozan had to say yesterday. Honestly, I don't think I even said this. I probably said it to my own inner circle, but if it wasn't for all the years and groundwork that I did before then, none of them things would have been possible. That is what DeRozan told Bleacher Report in a video interview yesterday. Yes, I fought. I sacrificed. I pushed the limits to where I had to be the sacrificial lamb. Hey, he's right. I mean, I know there's going to be a lot of people kind of dogging on DeMar DeRozan, kind of making fun of those comments, but a lot of this wouldn't have happened without him. He did help to build Toronto into what they are right now. He was a cornerstone for years. Now he's gone. Kawhi Leonard comes on board. And hey, the Raptors are in the NBA Finals. They've got a chance to win a championship. But, I mean, come on, DeMar DeRozan. Let's give the credit to who it truly belongs to. It's not you. Yes, you did some good things. Yes, you were productive. Yes, you were kind of just quietly going about your business and getting things done, but come on, let's be honest. None of the Toronto Raptors' success happens without Drake over on the sidelines doing the splits, being on top of the pyramid, shaking his pom-poms. Come on, DeMar. We all know Drake is the real MVP. Coming back, the NBA Finals are now rolling along, but today, in our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings,
Hump Day,
we wanted to take a look at which players have been the most impactful players throughout this season, and on the other side of that, which players weren't giving their teams much of anything when they stepped on the floor. We'll get to both of those when we get back.
Just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, maybe you have a birthday coming or an anniversary, or you just want to buy something for yourself. And don't forget that Father's Day is in June. You're going to want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find all the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. June's Loot Crate theme is now out, and it's called Toy Box. Return to an era where action figures were plentiful, towels doubled as capes, the floor was lava, and Saturday morning cartoons were serious business. Crack open our Toy Box and play around with some awesome pop culture gear. June's Loot Crate theme features items from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Legend of Zelda, and more. But if none of those franchises interest you, remember, you can go to Loot Crate and choose from a huge selection of other crates. You can also order a monthly subscription of crates that will arrive in your mailbox each month. Or you can just order individual items for whatever franchise you want. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate is when you check out, be sure to enter Daily Dose in the coupon box, and we will get you 10% off of your order, just as a thank you for listening to the Daily Dose.
So, you know, on Wednesdays, we like to get some actual numbers involved. Not so much my opinion, but we just put together a list and then just kind of see what those numbers or statistics tell us. Today, on our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings,
Hump Day!
Of course, the NBA Finals continue tonight, but who are the players all season that have been making the biggest impact on these games when they were on the floor? You know, a statistic called real plus minus is the player's average impact in terms of what they did when they stepped on the floor. So what they do is they figure how your team did. You either scored points or you gave up points per 100 offensive and defensive possessions. The result is your real plus minus. It's sometimes a really good statistic to try to find out which players are actually impacting the game when they get on the floor, because sometimes you can't really explain it. You look at certain guys and you say, I don't know what it is, but when they step on the floor, good things happen. We always have success when they're on the floor. And on the other side, a lot of times we look at certain players and say, I can't really put my finger on it. They didn't really do anything one way or the other statistically, but for some reason, when that player goes in the game, this team struggles. I don't know why, but that real plus minus statistic does kind of give us a hint of who is actually helping their team and who is not. So today, we will look at the top players in the NBA this season as far as their actual effect on the floor. Who had the highest real plus minus stat in the NBA this season? There aren't going to be any surprises here, right? Let's just see what the numbers tell us. Coming in at number 5, of course, is a guy you would fully expect to be on this list. because he had to do a lot for his team at both ends of the floor. Well, I mean, you know, when he was actually on the floor, because Philadelphia 76ers big man Joel Embiid had a real plus minus of positive 6.40. Hey, he was a dominant player. Like I said, when Joel Embiid is on the floor, he can be one of the most dominating players in the entire league. Joel Embiid averaged 27.5 points per game this year. But it wasn't just that. He also averaged nearly 14 rebounds per game. He handed out almost 4 assists per game. He blocked 2 shots per game. Hey, there's no question. Joel Embiid is one of the most impactful players in the NBA. We knew that. Again, we have some questions about how often he's on the floor, when he actually feels like playing, when his tummy doesn't hurt. But when he's out there and he's healthy, Joel Embiid affects the game. We can see that from this statistic here. He comes in at number 5. Moving up at number 4 is another guy that, again, you think of right away when you think of impactful players in the NBA. Yes, we all know he came up a little bit short in the NBA Eastern Conference Finals, but Milwaukee Bucks kind of do everything player Giannis Antetokounmpo, he is obviously a guy that just changes the entire look of his team when he steps on the floor. The Milwaukee Bucks are a completely different team with Giannis than without him. And yes, he needs to develop a more reliable outside shot. We all know that. But Giannis can hurt you in a number of different ways at both ends of the floor. I mean, Giannis averaged for the year nearly 28 points per game. That's a lot. He's a load. He also averaged nearly 13 rebounds per game, 6 assists per game. That's a lot for a big man. Here is a 6'10 guy who is at times basically playing point guard. Hey, Giannis can change the game. He had a real plus minus this year of 6.53. Yeah, he definitely impacted a lot of games. When he comes in the game, you know Giannis is there. He comes in at number 4. Moving up to number 3 on our hump day power rankings.
Hump day
is a guy, well, you might not think of him being the most impactful because he's not a very good on-ball defender, but our number 3 guy, he can be smart off the ball. And then at the other end, he can just explode. And it's no wonder that Golden State Warriors guard Steph Curry comes in this high with a 6.91 real plus minus when he's on the floor. Steph Curry averaged 27.3 points a game. He averaged 5 rebounds a game, as sometimes the smallest guy on the floor. He averaged 5 assists every time he steps on the floor too. Hey, we have definitely seen how valuable Steph Curry can be when Kevin Durant went down in the playoffs against Houston. Hey, Steph Curry, he's a little guy. He's not a great defender, but he can completely dominate a game. And when you think, hey, we're hanging with him, we're staying right there, all of a sudden he just goes on one of those patented runs. He has like 3 assists. He knocks down like 11 or 12 points in a 3 or 4 minute span. And all of a sudden the game that you were leading by 2, now you're down by 9. What just happened? Steph Curry just happened. He comes in number 3 on our plus minus ratio. Now Steph Curry had a 6.91 real plus minus. Coming in at number 2, we jump all the way up to a 7.41 plus minus per 100 possessions. And this goes to another guy that, again, he doesn't do that much on the defensive end, but he's so lethal at the offensive end. He can just go off at any second. Hey, we know Houston Rockets guard James Harden, he can just go crazy and just score at will whenever he wants to. I mean, this season alone, James Harden had 9 games of 50 or more points. He averaged 36 points per game. But here's the thing we kind of forget about James Harden. Yes, we know he's not a great defender, but he is a really, really underrated passer. Not only does James Harden get the ball to the correct player, which is huge, at the correct time, again, also huge, but watch how many times James Harden makes a pass to the perfect spot so that his teammate can shoot the shot immediately and score. You rarely see Harden make that pass high over a guy's head or hit him down at his ankles where he can't do anything with it. James Harden is a highly accurate passer, which is why he also averaged nearly 8 assists per game. And hey, when you think back to the Rockets season, and I know everyone's disappointing the Rockets and they're talking about what are they going to do with Houston? Are they going to rebuild? Hey, don't forget they had a number of injuries this year. James Harden carried them. And a lot of that was because he had a 7.41 real plus minus this year. He comes in at number two. So who had the top real plus minus of any player in the entire NBA in this 2018-2019 NBA season? Hey, a number of people might cross your mind. Maybe it would be Kawhi Leonard, who is doing so well for the Toronto Raptors. No, it wasn't Kawhi. Maybe it's still LeBron James. No, it wasn't him. He didn't do so much this year with the Lakers. Was it maybe Kevin Durant? No. Damian Lillard? Again, no. What about Boston Celtics point guard Kyrie Irving? No. The player that most affected his team when he stepped out on the floor, it might surprise you a little bit because I'm going to tell you right now, it surprised me. His number is a crazy 7.56 per 100 possessions. And that number belongs to Oklahoma City Thunder swingman Paul George. Yes, playoff P, who once again disappointed in the playoffs as the Thunder lost in five games to Portland in that opening round of the playoffs. But hey, Paul George averaged 28 points and 8 rebounds per game this season. And he had the highest real plus minus of any player in the league. Now, when you look at the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you say you had the guy that most affected his team better than anyone in the entire league, why weren't you better? Why didn't Oklahoma City do anything this year? Got to start to take a look at some other spots on that roster. Start to figure out what they can do. Okay, so now you know we have to look at the other side too, right? Next up, we're going to take a look at the players with the worst plus minus in the league. Because, you know, what fun would it be if we didn't do that? But, you know, it's kind of hard to do that. Because there are a lot of players that if I were to say their name and say they had the worst plus minus in the entire league, we wouldn't even know their names, right? They're unrecognizable. They're bench players that barely even get any playing time. Plus, they probably play for really bad teams. So instead, we're going to tweak the statistic just a little bit. We're going to look at the players with the lowest real plus minus again, but we're going to look at the players on teams that actually made the playoffs and still had the worst statistic. There are some guys that played in the postseason, yet they didn't do much to help their team at all. In fact, you could make a pretty good case. They hurt their team a lot more than they helped them. So let's take a look at the teams who made the postseason that had the worst real plus minus in the entire NBA. And starting out, you know, we just went 1 through 5. Starting off, clear down at number 494 is bizarrely a teammate of Paul George with the Oklahoma City Thunder. And while Paul George averaged a positive 7.56 points for his team per every 100 possessions, his teammate Patrick Patterson averaged a negative 4.24 points per 100 possessions for the Thunder. Now, he played in 63 games this year, but he averaged just 3.6 points per game, and he just turns the ball over too much. You know, when Patrick Patterson came out of Kentucky, it honestly looked like, hey, he should be a star. He's a really talented guy. He could be like a 20-10 kind of guy. Hey, Patrick Patterson has now been in the league for, I don't know, 8 or 9 seasons. He's never done much of anything. I don't know what it is. I can't put a specific finger on it, but he doesn't get it done. Patrick Patterson comes in at number 494 on our list. Yeah, he didn't do much to help a playoff team. Next up, at an even number 500, is Detroit Pistons backup point guard Jose Calderon, who was a minus 4.64 points in his real plus minus. Now, Calderon actually had a few productive seasons, you know, when he was a little bit younger, back when he was with Toronto. But he is now well past his prime, and he struggles to keep up with more talented players. This season, Calderon averaged just 2 points a game. He fouls way too much because he can't keep up with those more talented players, and he has nearly 1 turnover every single game, which is way too high when you figure he only plays like 13 minutes a night. Hey, Jose Calderon, it's been fun. You've had a nice career, I guess. Might be time for him to do something else, though. Jose Calderon ranks 500 in the NBA. I mean, there's not that many players in the league, right? I think this year there were like 520 players or something that actually got playing time. Jose Calderon comes in at number 500. But the Pistons did make the postseason, so I guess he had that going for him. Coming in next at number 502, we have a player that could surprise some people out there. But it wouldn't surprise me one single bit, because Denver Nuggets guard Will Barton drives me absolutely insane with his terrible defense and his atrocious shot selection. I will give Will Barton this. He is absolutely fearless, but he weighs in with a minus 4.84 points every time he steps on the floor, which is kind of crazy because of all the players on this list, he actually gets a lot of playing time. Will Barton averaged 27 minutes per game this year. He even started almost 40 games, but he scored just 11 points a game. He turns it over nearly two times a game, and he defends no one ever. Also, figure into the equation, Will Barton shoots just 34% from three-point range. You start to wonder how this guy even has a job in the league. He's got a job on a pretty good team, a team that had the number two seed in the NBA Western Conference. I don't know how he does it. Maybe he has pictures of management doing something they shouldn't be doing. Maybe he has some dirt on head coach Mike Malone. I don't understand what it is, but Will Barton is one of the worst players as far as efficiency in the entire NBA. He's still got a job, but he comes in at number 502, just one stop below him. At number 503 is Philadelphia 76ers small forward Jonathan Simmons, who has a minus 4.98 this year. Now, to be fair, Simmons didn't really get that much playing time with Philadelphia this year, so I won't hold this against him too much. But you might remember Jonathan Simmons was actually involved in that trade where he went from Orlando to Philadelphia in exchange with some other players, as well as Markel Fultz going to Orlando. But Jonathan Simmons scored 5 points a game this year. He's just a liability defensively, so his plus minus was near a negative five on the season. He comes in at 503. So for our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings this week,
Hump Day,
which player that actually made the playoffs has really stumbled this year with the worst real plus minus in the entire NBA? Well, it's a guy that is actually known more for making other people stumble. Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. Utah Jazz guard Grayson Allen had a minus 5.45 points per every 100 possessions that he was on the floor. And I guess if you were just looking at these stats, he would kind of be the least valuable player in the league of those that actually made the postseason. Grayson Allen averaged just 5 points a game this year, but he's also really bad defensively. And he did also turn it over once a game, even though he only got 11 minutes per night. And then he also shot 37% from the field. That doesn't help his cause either. Now, Grayson Allen is just a rookie. He should improve. But he didn't really help the Utah Jazz all that much this year. At least when you dig a little deeper and you actually look at how he affected his team when he was on the floor. You know, that's kind of what we do here with our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings.
Hump Day!
We try to take a little bit of a deeper look into the stats, and we can kind of see which players impacted their teams positively this year and which ones impacted them negatively. Grayson Allen, you were at the bottom of that negative list. Hey, tomorrow on The Dose, we will, of course, be checking in on the biggest stories in the world of sports. Have to take a look at that NBA Finals game tonight. Should be a good one. And as we do on most Thursdays, we will have a few sports media overreactions to get to. You know, the sports media has been throwing a number of things out there that don't make a bit of sense. We'll take a closer look at a few of those tomorrow. Hey, I have to say thank you all so much for listening to and for sharing the show. Thank you for the texts, the tweets, the messages. We appreciate that all so much. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Wednesday.